Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to hear from your word, for some of us, we do hear about the resurrection. We pray, Lord, that this morning, that it will challenge us, that it will come to us afresh in a way that opens our hearts and minds to this glorious truth. With the resurrection comes forgiveness. With the resurrection comes new beginnings. With the resurrection comes hope. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Shameful, disgraceful, disappointing, a stain on the game. It's just not cricket. These are some of the comments that we're hearing at the moment, aren't we? Reading about as people deal with the fallout of the ball tampering scandal of the Australian cricket team and its leadership. How our leading sportsmen have fallen in such a short time. Was it all because they simply wanted to win at all costs? Or was it simply a payback to South Africa for the sledging they gave the Australian team? As a nation, we are used to being disappointed in our politicians. We normally don't forgive them. In our rugby league players, we normally forgive and forget about what they've done because they normally play if they play the game well enough, we do forgive and forget, don't we? But what a reaction. What a response to our cricket team. Maybe because if someone said it's the gentleman's game and gentlemen don't behave this way. Especially the reaction and the response to the captain, the vice-captain of our team. I mean, both positions held in high esteem. I think they even are held higher than the Prime Minister. Not that I think the Prime Minister's held in that high esteem, but that's another story. Now, you might ask the question, what's all this got to do with Easter? Good question. You could say that Jesus was a man who many people admired and had high hopes for. Many considered him the man who would lead the Jewish nation to victory over the enemy, over the other nations, especially the Romans. But he failed. He had been a disappointment. He had died. He had cheated them out of their hope in him. Yes, some people still honoured him, but all their hopes had been dashed. He had shown by his death that all he had to offer was words. He had done a lot of good things, but he was dead now. Many people admire Steve Smith, his skill, his ability as a cricketer, his integrity, his achievements. His name was mentioned in the same breath as Sir Donald Bradman. Steve Smith says he's made a serious error of judgment. It's cost him a lot, his reputation, sponsors. David Warner, well, the jury's still out there. He made a choice that cost him his reputation and sponsors. Cameron Bancroft, maybe he was just led into making a bad decision by those he respected. And that's cost him his place on the Australian team. As he says, he's given it up for nothing. It's cost their families, cost their friends. And the response has been vicious at some point with people trolling their family and friends. Had the disciples of Jesus made a bad decision, an error of judgment in following this guy who's now dead? We put a lot of trust in our sport heroes and in the people we make into heroes. But heroes can fail us. And we seem shocked by their failures if somehow, especially if you're a cricketer, you're somehow a better human being. You know, you don't exhibit those terrible traits that the rest of us have. This situation in cricket is being termed a failure in leadership and a breaking of trust. We see Jesus as a leader and we ask, was he a failed leader also? Was Jesus a man who broke the trust of those who followed him? As we look around for heroes to believe in and are disappointed, does that mean that there's no heroes to be believed in? Is there anyone that we can actually trust in? No one expected that Jesus would win over death and really rise again. The Jewish authorities knew about his promise, and they had posted some guards outside the tomb to prevent anyone from actually taking the body and then claiming that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb with the purpose of anointing Jesus' dead body. She does that out of love and devotion. She's not expecting that Jesus won't be there. And finding the stone roll away, she panics, runs back to the men for help. The men are hiding behind locked doors. At least two of them go and have a look. John, the younger guy, seems to get there first, but doesn't go in. Peter rushes in. Peters are always, they always jump in before they think. They find the clothes. Always love this bit. You know, they find them, you know, neatly folded. You know, the body that, you know, those cloths that were used to wrap Jesus' body is just lying there neatly, but without a body. John finally goes in, and based on what he sees, he believes Jesus has been raised from the dead, but keeps it to himself and mentions that, well, maybe they didn't fully understand this was just a one-off event. This was an event that was fulfilling God's promise. The blokes leave Mary in her grief. Jesus' dead body is gone. That's how she understands it. Suddenly two angels appear, and they try to bring some joy into her grief by asking the question, "Woman, why are you weeping?" They have taken my Lord away, she says, and I don't know where they have put him. So she still expects to find a dead body. Jesus is dead. In her grief, she simply wants the body back. Jesus, unknown to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she says, "Sir, if you have carried the body away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." She still wants the dead body. When Jesus says her name, I think this is a very intimate, you know, situation. You know, there's sometimes that close friend or that spouse or that child, and someone you maybe haven't seen for a long time just says your name, and there's just instant recognition. She recognizes him. So Jesus, in spite of appearances, he's not a loser. He's not a disappointment. He's not a failure. Jesus turns Mary's grief into joy instantly. Mary tells the blokes that she has seen the Lord, but they don't believe her. Blokes can be a bit thick at times, because she finds the blokes still hiding from the Jewish authorities behind locked doors. They don't believe Jesus has been raised from the dead. They're not convinced until Jesus actually appears before them and shows them his hands and his side as proof that he is the same man that was crucified. But one of their group is not there, and he's skeptical about it. Thomas, known as the twin. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands," and then you've got to sort of think he's a bit bold, isn't he? "And put my fingers where the nails were." That's a bit gross, wouldn't you think so? But this guy wants to actually say, "I want proof beyond doubt. And put my hand into his side, I will not believe." You've got to love skeptics. It's good. Jesus loves skeptics. Come and challenge Jesus. He's been challenged for the last 2,000 years. Hasn't failed one challenge yet. Here is a man, that's Thomas, who only believes what he can see. He saw Jesus crucified, and no one walks away from a crucifixion. He saw Jesus put into a tomb and the stone rolled over the opening of the tomb. He saw soldiers posted as guards so that no one would take the body away. "Jesus alive? You must be mad," he says. Dead people don't come back to life, especially not after a crucifixion. But Jesus will turn his disbelief into belief. He will turn his skepticism into sincere faith. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, they still don't believe he's risen from the dead. These blokes are hiding. They've locked the doors. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side." See, Jesus invites skeptics. "Prove me. Come on. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." All heroes are flawed. Steve Smith, David Warner, Cameron Bancroft are all flawed. But so are we. We all fail in one way or the other. Will we be stronger men or women if temptation came our way? But Jesus is not flawed. But Jesus doesn't rub that into our faces. Rather, he takes our place under God and takes the punishment that you and I deserve. The guy who has no flaws takes all our flaws upon himself. There's a cry at the moment that maybe the punishment doesn't truly fit the crime for Steve Smith, David Warner and Cameron Badcroft because it's too extreme. Well, Jesus took the punishment that did fit you and me. He did it so that you and I could be freed from the power of death. He appeared as a loser so that you and I could be winners. Jesus didn't just cheat death, he crushed it. This morning we celebrate a win that has rocked the world for over 2,000 years. A truth that has led many men and women to their death. A truth that has led many women and men to choose a life that is under persecution, that is discriminated against, that gives them no opportunities. This morning we celebrate the ultimate victory over what people would think was an unbeatable side, death. Jesus is a hero that you and I can believe in and trust. A hero who will never fail us or disappoint us. A hero who will win not for himself, nor what he can gain, but for you and for me. But he's more than just a hero. As Thomas says, he is Lord and God. Yes, Jesus Christ is God who became a man at Christmas so that he could sacrifice his life willingly for others at Easter so that death would be defeated. He went in, not for himself, but for you and for me. Jesus' resurrection gives us hope because it is the day of new beginnings. That resurrection points us to something greater. You see, the resurrection is moving us, not us, but the whole world, towards a day when this same Lord Jesus will return. He will pull up stumps, declare the end of the game, and the beginning of the victory celebrations that no team, not even an Australian team, has ever experienced. Human beings will always be tempted and fail. But as Christians, the cross and the resurrection calls us to forgive, to understand that God forgives us. Because we know that we're sinners, that we're losers as well, that we're flawed. Steve Smith at one of his press conference said that he hoped that one day he could earn the forgiveness of the public. Well, people don't understand forgiveness, do they? Because no one deserves forgiveness. See, the cross and the resurrection tells us that forgiveness is offered because what Jesus has actually done for us. Forgiveness is offered in the name of Jesus here this morning and to the world because of what he has done, both his death and resurrection. Forgiveness is not earned. Forgiveness is not deserved, but because of the resurrection, forgiveness is offered. It's on the table. He's won it. Every Easter, it's the same message. It's the same message behind this book, book called the Gospel of John, when he writes, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Jesus has achieved the ultimate victory, and that is something to celebrate and share with people who, like the Australian captain, if you saw his news press conference, are weighed down by their guilt and failure. But brokenness, real brokenness, opens you up to receive the forgiveness that God offers to you in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. If this morning you're a stranger to this forgiveness, but maybe you long for this forgiveness. If this morning the resurrection is something that, well, I'm not sure if it's true or real, or what's it all about, I want to encourage you that at the front desk there, as you walk out, there's a booklet called Jesus All About Life. Pick one up. Have a read. It contains the Gospel of Luke there. And if you want to have a chat, my number's on the front of the bulletin. And I love a chat, especially over coffee. You want to chat about this man, Jesus? I'd be more than happy to do that. Or the person who invited you this morning, they would be more than happy to do that. Jesus is more than just a hero. He's the God who became a man, who died in our place to defeat death so you and I could be forgiven. He won the victory that you and I could never win, so that you and I could have a new beginning. And that's no April Fool's joke. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of the resurrection of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that every single person in this room is grounded in that truth, that that truth will shape their hearts, their minds, their lives, that Jesus has not failed, that his word has come true, that he has achieved the ultimate victory and will finally chuck death out of this creation. So, Lord, we ask this morning that that truth will grip our hearts and minds, that we may live for you, honour you and please you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.